This is Good News Hour, the program wholly dedicated to the glorious gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, and your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And we're going to call your attention now very briefly to an interesting portion of the Holy Scriptures. Now, what we have to say today will be particularly to those who are saved, those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we always have a message for those who are as yet in their sins, that is to say, those who have never been born again, never been saved. Now, we're not saying those who hope to be saved or would like to be saved. We certainly have a message for you, too, and we wouldn't want to ever come before the mic and miss bringing you something so that if there was an aching, a heart or a burdened soul, you could surely find rest by listening to any messages that God enables us to give or to bring to you. Now we're going to read in the second chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Verse 18 begins like this: For through him, that is through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, this is a scripture that brings before us once again the Trinity in unity. That is to say, in enabling those who belong to him to get right into the very presence of God. Yes, to enjoy communion, unbroken communion, and fellowship with him day by day. And I repeat it again, to get right into his presence. Now then, just for a moment. We pointed out to you in our last message where we have the Trinity in unity in the grand truth of election, and all are seen to be engaged in this important work. And we did stress and point out to you that elect according to the knowledge or the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you see, the Trinity are all seen in harmony. First, God who foreknew, and I would say that election was in the very heart of our God. And in order that that work could be accomplished, the Son had to shed his precious blood, and the Spirit of God separates men and women, convicting them of their guilt and of their sin, and then in turn causing them to put their faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, applying it by simple trust, and thus bringing them into the circle of God's favor forever. Now will you think of the chapter we've just read, or the portion of this interesting second chapter of Ephesians. We read to you that we both, that is, Jews and Gentiles, for that really is the subject. You go back just a little bit, and you would read in verse 14, For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of the two, one new man, so making peace. In other words, he's going to now bring into being, into existence, what is spoken of as the body of Christ, composed of saved Jews and saved Gentiles alike. Now, not only does God in his grace separate men and women, elect them, yes, elected by the work of the triune God, but you know, he has other purposes for us and desires too for us, and I think it's beautifully expressed in this 18th verse, and one couldn't possibly read it without being totally overwhelmed. Imagine a passage, if you will, like this: For through him, that is through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You don't need to look back, some of you, very long. Not any of us, as a matter of fact. And we can remember when, in our experiences, we could not say that God was our Father. You could have chanted, of course, as so many people do, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. But even although saying those words, repeating those words, you couldn't say that he was your Father. Oh, how well the speaker remembers the first night after He had been reached and saved by the grace of God. The work of the Spirit had completed his work, and on my part there was obedience to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ that brought me into God's family and into God's favor, that made me one of his own. But I learned a little bit later that the triune God, oh, let me put it this way, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, who died for me, and the Holy Spirit of God are now alike interested in my well-being, interested in my spiritual welfare. And I believe, you know, that God's desire for each and all of his dear children is that we might have a growing acquaintanceship with himself, that the things are ours in Christ may become infinitely more precious to us day by day, that we may get a deeper sense of the knowledge of them in our hearts and in our soul's experience. In other words, experimental truth. You know, it's sometimes easy to say things, but there are truths that we must experience, like the old Scotch lady, you know, when someone asked her to explain what she meant when she was speaking about the rich possession she had in Christ Jesus. Oh, she said, it's better felt than telt. That is to say, it was better in the joy of her own experience in her own soul even than it was to tell about it. But will you, if you can, imagine that we have access right now to heaven. Think of it. Right to the immediate presence of God. God, who is our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated with him yonder upon that throne, having entered in all the value of his atoning blood. Now look, we just gravitate naturally downward, don't we? Just like the stone, you throw it up and down, it comes. But you know, we have, thank God, within our very hearts, the Holy Spirit of God. And not only the Holy Spirit of God that enables us to call Jesus our Savior and God our Father, but the Spirit of God is indwelling each and every born-again soul. And if you were to go back right in this very same epistle, and we are not able to do that, but we read there that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the purchased possession. Then he goes on further to tell us, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that is until we get our glorified bodies. Then we'll be with him and like him forever and ever. But did you know, child of God, did you know, believer, that right here and now you have access? Oh, will you hear it? Will you hear it? Once the child of Adam, once at a distance from himself, once without a claim upon him, now in Christ Jesus, and that really is the truth of this entire epistle, believers are seen to be in our Lord Jesus Christ, accepted in all the acceptability of his spotless person and his perfect work. But we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, I couldn't get into the presence of God in my own. Oh, no. You see, it takes the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God to lead me in. Just as even here and now, he makes Christ real and he makes Christ precious to my very heart and to my soul. But he it is who carries me. He it is who empowers me to get in, to get through the mists of earth and the various things that would hinder me, because, you know, the air is infested with evil spirits. And I think you'd find that if you turn to the very last chapter of this wonderful epistle, chapter 6. And so that we find we have enemies, yes, enemies that are hostile to us, would oppose us, oppose our entrance into our portion and possession in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have access by one Spirit. We both have access, Jews and Gentiles alike, by one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, imagine that if you can. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have an earthly father. And some of us can say we thank God from the deepest depths of our hearts for our earthly fathers and those that could counsel us and possessed wisdom and were able to help us along the rough places and so on. Well, thank God. Jesus, our Savior, is at the right hand of the Father, and our Father is in heaven, and the Holy Spirit indwells us and would enable us to enter right in now to the presence of God to enjoy Him. Now listen, you can't enjoy God. You couldn't be at home in His presence unless you're first reached and saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this epistle sees men and women who were dead in trespasses and sins and at a distance from Him, without hope and without God in the world, saved by grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we have access into His holy presence. Thank you, friends, for allowing us to be your guest for just a little while as we have been going over some of the things that we believe are of vital and of present and eternal importance. And of course, as we frequently suggest and point out, it's not enough to hear the truth. It's not enough to have a mental concept of the truth of God. But that truth, if apprehended in the power of the Spirit of God and is lived out in our lives, it will be a blessing to us and a blessing through us to others. Now, in case you are not saved and would like to be saved and have questions that are troubling you, drop us a line. This address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. And, of course, if you do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and want further help, we're available too.